Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Last week, and I hope you were with me, it was So You Want to Be a Consultant, Hank Goldstein, author of So You Want to Be a Consultant, and a partner at the Aurum Group, offered insight into the ups and downs, the ins and outs of consulting to nonprofits. When should you start thinking about consulting? What personality type does it take? And how much should you charge? Also, last week, Next Gen Charity 2011, conference co-founder Jonah Halper was with me to talk about this year's conference on November 17th and 18th in New York City. And a reminder that my show is a media sponsor of Next Gen Charity. We'll be there doing interviews of speakers in mid-November. This week, 9 weeks and a wake-up, four essentials for year-end fundraising. Mary Allison, principal with One Accord, helps you out in the final stretch toward year end. She and I will talk about segmenting and messaging, social media and other online strategies, direct mail, and getting volunteers to pitch in. All her ideas can be executed quickly to get you the help you need before December 31st. And our regular tech contributor, Scott Kegler, will be with me, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. He and I are going to talk about your mobile website. Do you need one? Should you have one? How do you develop one? And what should you include to make yours spiffy and sophisticated? Between the guests, Tony's Take Two, my blog post this week, Let's Help Kelly for Pete's Sake. I'm using my blog this week to answer a common question asked by small shop fundraisers. We're live tweeting the show this week. Use hashtag nonprofitradio to join the conversation with us on Twitter. Right now, we take a break, and after the break, I'll be joined by Mary Allison. 9 weeks and a wake-up, four essentials for year-end fundraising, so stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined now by Mary Allison. Mary is a partner with One Accord. She has over 25 years of senior executive leadership and organizational development experience in the nonprofit and corporate sectors. She's with us from Washington State, and I'm very pleased that her expertise on year-end fundraising brings her to the show. Mary Allison, welcome.
Hello, Tony. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us from Washington State.
You bet. Glad to be here.
So, Mary, we want to think about things that people can do in the next 9 weeks and a day before December 31st. But even though there is a short time left, they still shouldn't be putting out the same message to everybody. Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely. You need to tailor a plan of engagement for each of your segments that you're talking with.
And what are those different segments? How should you look at your constituents?
Well, it's important to know that one size does not fit all.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about your segments, you're looking really to engage the prospects, the first-time givers, those that give at events, those that are major donors, and so on. Each nonprofit has its own database, and they need to be really looking intentionally with who's in there and how to reach those people at this year-end time.
Because we know that the dear friend letters just don't do well.
That's exactly right. There are really five keys to success in the year-end strategy. Each of your segments, you need to tailor your look and your materials, tailor your message, tailor the invitation to give, and absolutely tailor the follow-up. You know, you need to be thinking about how your donor will feel your appreciation after they've donated, as well as need to be thinking about tailoring the timing. Be conscious of the calendar and be intentional with your activity as it relates to that calendar.
All right, let's look at the different segments in this first of. We're going to be looking at four essentials. You were just naming five things that go along with the segmenting and the messaging to those segments. But so just not to confuse people, we're going to be talking about four essentials. Excuse me. Overall, for year-end fundraising, the prospects you mentioned first. Prospects. What? Let's identify that for people. What do you mean by prospects first?
Those are people that have some interest or alignment with your mission. It's often that you've perhaps purchased a list from a list provider, and that you know that they have some affinity to the work that you want to do, and you want to invite them to get to know you better. And in those, for those folks, you want to have a really well-prepared case of why they need to engage with your organization, why it makes sense in their life. So it's really a get-to-know-you and a welcoming in.
And would you approach them with this message by U.S. mail or email or how?
You know, that's a great question, Tony. In this day and age, there are so many ways to connect, and every constituency is using all of the ways of social media and snail mail in different ways, and you've really got to be aware of how people want to engage. And right now, many of your longtime donors or givers have really been using mail in large fashion, but the email is also really becoming very, very important for our younger givers, and we need to be able to meet them where they are and invite them in.
But so what are we going to do with this pool of prospects as we go down the spectrum from prospects and first-time givers and event givers, et cetera? But for the prospects, how do we know how they want to be engaged? They're just prospects.
Well, your list providers can help you with that, knowing where these folks are wanting to be met. And there's also, you know, multiple studies out there right now. You've really got to be creating your public awareness on many levels right now. You've really got to be have the capacity to show up where your donors are also in that engaging, and that means being on the email, means being in social media, having a Facebook page, utilizing your LinkedIn. It is a lot of work, but it really has to happen. Because that's where we're all using multiple channels to do our research, to learn about organizations, and to determine if we want to engage.
All right. And we know that your print and your online should be consistent. And we're going to talk about that shortly after we talk about the different segments of constituents. But you mentioned that for approaching prospects, you need to have your case. Does that mean you have to have a four-color printed piece that outlines why someone who's a prospect should become a donor?
Well, you absolutely have to have meaning. You need to be able to relate, tell your story in a way. And depending on the organization, again, you need to tailor that message as it makes sense to who your organization is. Now, there are organizations out there that are very large not-for-profits that absolutely can do some very big and showy pieces. But there are so many other small not-for-profits doing great work where a big showpiece does not make sense to their mission or to their budget. But you still need to do an intentional piece that speaks from the heart and that really showcases investment, the return on the investment the donor will make to the mission of that organization. And that can be a single letter with just a wonderful picture of either the population that you're serving or whatever your mission is, but it needs to be warm and inviting and appropriate.
And we always want to keep in mind that the audience for this show is small and mid-sized nonprofits, so we appreciate the advice for what small shops can do and how just a heartfelt message can be very, very meaningful. This doesn't have to be a four-color, you know, blowout brochure.
Absolutely. And for many not-for-profits, their donors would be questioning why they would have such a showy piece if they are, you know, really working from a mission-based, very small financial base. They're going to want to see that the not-for-profit are using those dollars appropriately, making sense, and trimming costs wherever they can.
Mary, we're going to take a break, and when we return, you and I will keep talking about these different prospect pools, or constituent pools, I should say, different constituent pools, and the messages to each one, and then we'll carry on and talk about other ideas for 9 weeks and a wake-up for essentials for year-end fundraising. I know Mary will stay with me, and I hope you will, too.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
If you have big ideas and an average budget, tune into the way above average Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I do. I'm Jonah Halper from Next Gen Charity.
Welcome back. It's 9 weeks and a wake-up until December 31st, so my guest Mary Allison and I are talking about four essentials for your year-end fundraising. Mary, let's talk a little more about some of these different constituent pools. You mentioned the first-time donors, people who have given just once. What should your year-end message be to that group?
Well, you know, Tony, to any of these groups, there needs to be a strong message of appreciation. So you need to make sure that through any correspondence that you have, that you recognize that these donors have some interest in your organization, you appreciate that interest, and for all those that have already given, your first-time givers, your event givers, your major donors, make sure you have an important message embedded in the appeal that lets them know how much you appreciate what they've done for you in the past.
And what's your goal for those first-time donors, the one-time donors?
Well, you're really looking for them to either step up the amount that they had given in the past or to really consider becoming a more annual giver. Perhaps you could set up a reoccurring opportunity where they make a commitment to provide $25 a month every month of the year. There are opportunities like that where you're looking for those donors to really have an ongoing relationship with you that shows up ideally monthly and at least more than once a year.
And let's say now for these one-time donors that you do have an email address, because hopefully you've acquired that when they made their first gift. So should you approach them by email and also by U.S. mail?
You know, for those that have the capacity to ask their donors how they would like to be met, that's the best way to go. Ask them how they would most like to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that opportunity or they don't engage in that way, you need to really be aware of what you're mailing, both snail mail, if you will, and email, and then track and see how the donor responds to you. They'll give you their own tips by either having a check show up in the mail, by getting online and perhaps making a donation online, or perhaps even calling in and offering up a credit card number there. But you really need to look at those hints that they're giving you and then come back and make a conscious decision on how you want to proceed with engagement.
How about the people who already are monthly donors? What should your message be to them? They're already giving very regularly.
Yes, and in this day and age, what you really want to do is, again, offer them the case for support. Let them know how meaningful their donations have been and how that's helped the mission and the work that's being done. And ask them if they can perhaps make it a little bit more this year or this time around. If they gave $25 a month last year, maybe they could step up to $50 this year. But you need to ask them and let them know, again, how meaningful those donations are to the important work of the mission.
All right. And I suppose the people who are your occasional donors, I guess you want to make them or try to get them to be regular donors.
That's exactly right. Hopefully that you can move them to that monthly donor group.
And then the last one, major donors, people who are already giving, you know, however your organization defines major. I mean, for
yep.
small and mid-sized shops, that may be $500 a year or $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
If people are already giving at that level, what should your year-end message be?
Well, again, you need to show your appreciation for them. Let them know that their investment in your organization has done some great, great work. And again, you have to ask if they can step it up a little bit more and so that you can do even more important work. And what's important there, though, Tony, is that you need to have that relationship with that major donor all year. So you really need to be able to offer them the relationship, if you will, recapture it for them, let them know how you've appreciated them throughout the year, and ask them if they can continue and perhaps step it up a little bit more this year for the important work.
So if people feel that they have not had a good relationship through the year with their major donors, then that sounds like something to set as a priority for 2012.
I think that's a really great point, Tony. Yes, our not-for-profit organizations really have to show the love, if you will, all through the year for all their donors.
Okay, yeah, very consistent message. I mean, you know, I asked you about a number of different constituents, and you were consistent throughout, thanking them for what they've done and asking them to go really just to the next step, like as you identified.
Yes.
So let's talk then about using social media properties and online. We said earlier that your online messaging really needs to be consistent with your print messaging. Can you say a little more about that?
Well, a not-for-profit, wherever it shows up, it needs to show up with consistency. So you need to really bundle, if you will, all of your outreach levers that you're pulling so that wherever you are, when your brand, when your logo, when your representation shows up, it's consistent for anybody who is tapping into it, wherever they're tapping in.
And we've had a number of guests on the show talk about branding and messaging and how to determine what your ideal message should be and then make that consistent. But But your advice, obviously, is across all media, it needs to be consistent.
Absolutely. Now, the way that that's going to, the way that you engage might be a little bit different. Certainly, social media allows you more opportunity to encourage a kind of back and forth, give and take, almost dialogue. And I think that not-for-profits really need to be taking advantage of that. Have something on your site where your potential donors, those that are interested in you, can learn more. Perhaps it's a survey, perhaps it's an opinion piece, perhaps it's a blog. But find a way to invite more engagement so that you're pushing and pulling rather than just pushing information.
You also want to show people, perhaps by your blog or other social media properties, that you're relevant to what's happening in the community or in the larger news.
That's exactly right. There are so many things that are going on in our world right now, and there's a lot of ways to be really relevant and to tap into showing your relevancy to your donor base. And you need to take advantage of that wherever you can. And at the same time, in taking advantage of that, you also cannot be disingenuous. You need to be opportunistic, showing your relevancy, but not in a way that doesn't feel appropriate or that could even cloud the message that you're trying to get across.
Mm. And that's probably a pretty fine line, because you do want to take advantage of news that is current in the community, and the community might be the nation, but you, as you said, you know, you don't want to appear inappropriate and trying to exploit news for your own advantage.
That's exactly right, and there's multiple examples of that in the world right now. And if you have a moment, I could give you a quick example. Of
sure, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Well, not too long ago, a young girl, Rachel Beckwith, a 9-year-old girl up here in my area in Bellevue, Washington, unfortunately died in a horrific car accident on I-90. Well, just prior to her death, she had set up a fund so that for her 9th birthday, she asked her friends to donate to a charity that she had created that was to create clean water opportunities in Africa. Well, soon after her death, and while her family was still in mourning, it came to light that there had been this fund set up, and people began to contribute in her name. And her parents then had the opportunity, if you will, to take this time of mourning and really make it an opportunity of celebration of their daughter's life, to speak to their daughter, and to also provide an opportunity for people then to donate to this charity. And within 6 weeks, the charity had grown to $1.26 million and was providing water outlets to 50,000 people in Africa.
That's an incredible and sad coincidence that she had started a charity and then died in the car accident.
Gosh. Exactly. And yet there was a very heartwarming, heartfelt, genuine desire from everybody who heard of her story to give. And now there's been a positive outcome for that.
My guest is Mary Allison. She's a partner with One Accord, which you'll find at oneaccordpartners.com. And we're talking about 9 weeks and a wake-up for essentials for year-end fundraising. Let's talk about unifying the... You have some really good advice about unifying or tying together print and email. So, for instance, we had talked earlier about you said message people where they want to be heard, where they want to hear from you. But what if it's a thanks? We want to do that in as many places as possible if it's a thank you.
Oh, Tony, great point. Absolutely. And there are so many ways to do that. Many not-for-profits will use their year-end to, again, make a personal thank you along those lines. And there's a great way that we can talk about in a minute about how you can use your board and volunteers to also do a great job in thanking those people. But throughout the course of the year, you know, again, as we're talking about, this is, 9 weeks in a day,
the
countdown. But again, a lot of these strategies that you and I are talking about are really things to take to heart for the entire year. So showing those thanks is not just a year end, but it's around the year. And to your point, you know, we also want to thank our folks not only in the letter but also in the email. And it's really a great idea to follow up immediately with an email to someone who's made a donation so that you're getting multiple ways to hit them right away with that thanks. And in fact, I just made a donation to my college, my university, as an alumni, and I was actually immediately hit with a Twitter from them thanking me for my donation. And I thought that was such a unique and energetic way to do it. It really was a fun thank you for me to get right away. And, of course, it was also followed up with a major letter from the university as well.
You can also just mention a website or social media presence in your printed letters.
Oh, always. Absolutely. That needs to become a discipline. That's a great call, Tony.
And you mentioned online surveying or polling. What types of questions might we be asking in these surveys?
You know, it's there's all kinds of data, if you'd like, you know, that you could be collecting at this time. Some of it can have to do with your overall scope of mission. For instance, if you are a mission that is helping with the homeless, you might want to have a survey online for your donors to ask them what's their opinion of the work that you're doing in that arena. How are they? How would they rate you? How would they like to see you do more work, different kinds of work? You know, you can ask them and start to compile that data and let it influence or perhaps shape the work that you'll do. You can also provide links on your site to somebody else's surveys so that you're continuing to offer your donors new ways to get deeper information about the type of work that your mission is inspired by or aligned with.
Let's move to direct mail, the printed piece mail. This also needs to be personalized, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it really kind of goes back to what we talked about. It has a lot to do with the donor segmentation. So you need to, again, have the right message at the right time from the right person asking for the right thing. And I guess you can kind of call that the four rights.
Okay. And when we're using volunteers, there are ways you have, strategies you have of personalizing the actual letter itself. Why don't you share some of those?
Absolutely. For instance, I often encourage the not-for-profits that I work with to let the board members get involved with writing some of those letters. And it can be very, very simple, but very, very meaningful and impactful. So on the return address of an envelope itself, there's often a little space right above the address where your board member can actually print their name. So you can segment your list out to those friends of the board members, give each of the board members a stack, and ask them to handwrite their name in above your organization's return address so that when somebody receives it in the mail, not only do they see the not-for-profit address and name, but they also immediately see their own personal relationship with that board member associated there.
I love that. Such a simple idea. And you have an idea for also just on the letter itself.
Absolutely. It's so easy just to grab a little pile of sticky notes, really nice if you've got the not-for-profit logo on them as well, and ask your board members to just write a quick note of thanks for your contribution, hope you'll consider giving again. And oftentimes, you know, you can add to that a really personal note in it, let's have coffee soon from Mary Allison at Jubilee Women's Center. And just stick that little sticky right on top of the letter itself so that as they open it, they see it. They get that quick note from you, and it just makes it more meaningful.
Something else that I used to see when I was in the Air Force was that senior officers would cross out the formal greeting where it said, dear, you know, captain or colonel, whatever, last name, and they'd write the person's first name. So they'd scratch it out on the letter and write the person's first name right above it. And that's not to be corrected. It's to stay that way so that the person sees the recipient sees the personalization.
Oh, very good. I love it.
And this is stuff we could do at a board meeting, right, when everybody's together at the board?
Absolutely. It takes just 15 minutes. There's often during that part of the board meeting where you're going through the usual agendaed items that there's not too much going on that you can be multitasking. Yeah, absolutely.
And in just the minute and a half or so that we have left, let's talk about using the board or other volunteers. What's your advice there? How can these people really be effective in the last 9 weeks and a day?
You know, it's important that the board members, your key stakeholders and volunteers, know what you're up to. Make sure that they're getting information from your organization about the initiatives that you're working on. Invite them to help you. also provide them with some uplifting stories of success, of return on investment, so that they can share them as they're going out to their holiday parties, they're meeting with so many different people. They have little nuggets that they can drop into conversations about the good work that your organization is doing. It's also a great idea to create on your internet site or in your appeal letter a little paragraph about why I volunteer. And let one of your stakeholders, your board members, give you a paragraph about why they do. And it's just so inspirational.
And then at the end of the year end, they can be used very effectively to say thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And that can either be done, again, by a handwritten note or even a phone call. It's such a great practice for the board members to kind of do what we would call a phone tree. And let's provide our board members with 10 to 12 names of donors that had a significant impact, and let them give them a call and just say thanks. Identify themselves as a board member, their genuine thankfulness, and it's just a 30-second call, but it has such meaning.
Mary Allison is a partner with One Accord, which you'll find at oneaccordpartners.com. We've been talking about 9 weeks in a wake-up, four essentials for your year-end fundraising. Mary Allison, thank you very much for being a guest.
Oh, Tony, thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. We take a break. After the break, Tony's Take Two, and then Scott Kegler, our tech contributor, is going to share ideas about your mobile website. So stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. It's time for Tony's Take Two. My blog this week is Let's Help Kelly for Pete's Sake. A solo fundraiser named Kelly asked a question in a LinkedIn group that has over 45,000 members, and nobody had an answer. She didn't get a single comment, but her question is so common and so basic for small shop fundraisers that I wanted to step in. Her question for the solo fundraisers is, how should I spend my time? The woman has to deal with grant writing and prospect research and acquiring new donors, cultivation of existing prospects and donors, stewardship, you know, saying thank you to donors, corporate sponsorship work. How should she spend her time? And I was disappointed that none of the people in that Mojo Link group had an answer or suggestions for her. So I blogged about it this week, and I hope you'll go to my blog and give your advice to Kelly and the probably tens of thousands of similarly situated solo fundraisers in small and mid-sized nonprofits. How do you recommend that they spend their money? My blog is at mpgadv.com. I hope you'll go there and share your advice. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, October 28th. With me now is Scott Kegler. We all know he's our regular tech contributor. We all know he's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. Today he's going to break down whether you need a mobile site, how to develop one, what to include in yours if you do go ahead. Scott Kegler, welcome back.
Thanks, Tony. Good to talk to you.
Are you in Greenville, South Carolina this month?
I am, actually, yes.
So are you with us by mobile in your RV?
Yes, I'm using Skype on the computer, but I have pretty much a full setup here.
Okay, that's cool. I love how you're I want you to bring that RV into New York City sometime.
That would be an adventure in itself.
Mobile websites. Why do we need a special website? Why can't people just look at our regular website on their mobile device?
The short answer is that the screen size is different. The longer answer is that typically there's no keyboard, so you need to accommodate the differences in the way people interact with websites that are different from what they do when they're at their laptop or desktop.
So just a small version of our website is not going to look so good.
There are some utilities in most of the website development systems that will automatically reformat your website to fit in the smaller screens. They detect the browser and the type of device, and they'll somehow reformat, but most of the time they end up just squeezing it, which really doesn't help much.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't have that sort of utility to create it and process it automatically for small size, how do you develop a mobile website?
The developers of websites have their own special tools that allow them to make more intelligent decisions about how they reformat and change the size. A lot of websites, of course, include banner ads and large graphics at the header and those kind of things, and really those are pretty useless on a smaller device. So they get rid of those. They concentrate more on content. Some concentrate more on interactivity, social media, interconnection, and those kind of things.
Okay, and we're gonna talk about some of those things that should be on your mobile website. So it sounds like the place to start would be with the person who developed your ordinary or day-to-day website. But it sounds like there's also a special expertise that might be needed to downsize it for mobile purposes.
I would say definitely. On the other hand, that kind of expertise is becoming a necessity for anybody who's developing websites. So you're probably not going to have a real hard time finding someone to do that. And as you mentioned, the people that developed your original website at this point may already have the expertise to be able to reconfigure or develop the secondary website.
Okay, and my guess is it's not going to be as expensive as, like, say, something else that you and I talked about a few shows ago, which was developing an app, a mobile app. You're not going to be spending that kind of money on your mobile website.
It depends.
Really? Okay, because mobile apps, I thought we were talking about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
And that is the case for some apps. If you look at a lot of the apps, what people call apps, some of them really are just websites.
Oh, okay.
So it really depends on the purpose and the depth to which you want to develop this. But applications or apps can be either just dedicated websites that are provided by a link on your phone or your tablet, or they can actually be downloaded applications that link to the back end, to the internet.
All right. So an app could be less expensive than I just described, and a mobile website could be more expensive, depending on how sophisticated you want to get.
Exactly right.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that you're are really essential for your mobile website. You want to have a platform for giving, I imagine.
Right. What you want to do is to start out and look at what are the most critical things that you're trying to get people to use on your website. And, you know, articles are great, but on a mobile website, they may be less important. You know, you want to make them available by link, and typically text and those kind of things will automatically reformat. Those are much less of a difficulty for having to kind of redesign them. But, yes, as you said, be able to give donations. I mean, that should be pretty much an easy thing to do. It should be prominent in the application. It should be, you know, donate here kind of button, pretty much the same kind of button you would use on your standard website, but linking to a formatted page that does pretty much nothing but allow the person to donate in the amount that they want.
And so you want to make that as easy to find as possible, it sounds like, just like on the primary website.
Exactly. You want to have those prominent, you get to pretty much one click kind of a thing. One of the tricks is to, if you already know who your donors are, and if they're members of your website community, have an automatic sign-in so that they don't have to go back through and identify themselves. Again, that makes it way more difficult. You want to be able to automatically recognize who they are, provide them the options for making a donation, and the options for payment. Again, if you know who they are and you have their contribution information, the way that they like to give, you can link to that, make use of what you've already got. If not, you want to make things like PayPal easy to get to, or even credit card donation forms.
Right. All as simple as possible so we don't lose people who want to give.
Right. And as I said, you don't have the keyboard available typically. You do have keyboards, obviously, on phones and tablets, but they're really not quite as easy to use. So you want to minimize any of the typing that's necessary.
Okay, so minimize typing in favor of buttons to select instead?
Two things, buttons to select and automatically updated information. Now, again, if you know who they are by virtue of the fact that they are already members of your community, or maybe the Facebook sign-in kind of a function where they don't have to type anything. You just have to identify themselves one way or another.
Okay. Good advice for minimizing the typing on a small keyboard. What else do you like to see in a mobile website, Scott?
In the mobile environment, the social interaction is really a big thing. Most people are using either Facebook or Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Plus to an increasing amount. And so they're already using those facilities. So if you have your website there, you want to be able to allow them to quickly and easily share the information. Again, the donation function should be something that they should be able to click on it and say, share this with my Facebook account and allow me to write in a quick update that says, I just donated to this, or I think you should donate to this cause because of whatever. And again, make it simple. Allow them to share it on whatever social media their preference is. And I would say, don't limit it. For instance, don't just limit it to Twitter or Facebook. Add the other ones that are important for your constituent community.
And these connections are very easy to make. Maybe not by the average person, but by a developer, certainly. The social media platforms are all designed to be shared widely.
Right. Your developers know that without even thinking. That's something that they would add to certainly your main website and easily enough to any mobile website.
Okay. Just in the minute or so we have left before a break, what about events? Nonprofits hold events. What advice do you have around putting those in the mobile website?
Well, just like the donation, I would say, you know, provide the information about the event in a concise manner. Provide the dates, times, whatever, any contributions or expenses that are necessary in order to attend, and then allow them to sign up for it and say, yes, I'm coming. Facebook has a great function for that, the invitation. And so it's easy enough to leverage off of that, or just to provide your own. There are plenty of services available for your website as well that allow you to set up an event and invite people and then accept their participation.
We're going to take a break, and when we return, Scott Kegler, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, will keep telling us about advice for your mobile website. So stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Lively conversation, top trends, sound advice. That's Tony Martinetti at Nonprofit Radio, and I'm Samantha Cohen from the American Civil Liberties Union.
Welcome back. Scott Kegler and I are talking about your mobile website. Scott, just to wrap up what we were just talking about before the break, events, there's that spiffy little, you know, little mapping applications that I see on lots of websites.
Certainly those are good for events, you know, if people don't know where the location is be able to click here and guide me there, get directions. Those are great, helpful applications. You know, I just read that TomTom, the maker of GPS systems typically for cars, is going out of the hardware business because nobody needs the hardware anymore. They've got it on their phones and their tablets.
Oh, interesting. So the two players in that really are TomTom and Garmin is the big one, right?
Right, right.
And no indication that that they're going out of the hardware business?
I didn't hear any announcement from Garmin, but I was kind of surprised that TomTom, they make some really great physical equipment, and I use both. I use the TomTom, and I also use my my cell phone, my smartphone. And I still use the TomTom quite a bit just because it hangs on my window.
Yeah, okay. But those dashboard devices always have the advantage of talking, speaking the directions. Does your phone do that?
It does, yes.
Oh, it does? Oh.
I use Google Maps, actually, on my cell phone. And it talks and it allows me to guide. I don't talk to it. I don't even know if it has that. Now, some of the TomTom units have the ability to say, actually talk the address, and we'll get you there.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So back to the mobile websites. I would think you'd want to have a way for people to reach you if they want to have further interaction, further find out, get more information.
Sure. And again, this is something that's typical on a website where you would typically, you know, click the button and it would email or bring up a chat box. On a mobile device, of course, typically you're talking about a cell phone, a smartphone, so it makes a lot more sense maybe to just click and talk. So include the phone number there with a click button that automatically dials the phone number and gets you directly to the nonprofit that they're trying to talk to.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And finally, you had some advice about content, news content.
Well, I really believe that content really is important in almost every aspect of communicating. I mean, that's newsletter presentation and those kind of things. And if you're doing that anyhow on your website, which I would have to believe that most nonprofits are doing, they're providing information about who they are, what they do, and what they would like to do. So being that mobile devices are things that are used pretty much intermittently, not like a desktop where you sit back and you actually sit there for a while, you want to be able to provide people easy ways to read your content. So either by way of an email update to the cell phone or maybe an RSS feed, or there are a whole lot of other feed mechanisms that will bring your content to the cell phone. But it's critical because those are those off moments where, you know, maybe they have time to read 200-400 words with a text as they're waiting for whatever it is, a bus or in a cab somewhere or whatever they happen to be doing and don't have something else occupying their time.
Scott, let's remind people what RSS feed, what does that mean?
Real simple syndication, which means almost as much as RSS.
Yeah, right.
But it's where most people will know it is Google Reader. Google Reader accepts those kinds of feeds and presents them in a format that's easy to read and easy to track what they're interested in.
And we've talked in the past about having video on your site. Can you do that on your mobile site also?
Pretty much any smartphone or tablet will accept video. One exception, of course, is the big exception, the iPhone, the iOS environment with iPhone and iPad that don't accept flash video, which still is predominant and a pretty much frustrating issue for those people, those millions and millions of people using the Apple devices. So, but you do want to be able to be viewed by users of that kind of device. So there are ways to do it. Your web developer can help you to get around that.
And when we've talked about video, we always make the point that it doesn't have to be high-end video, right? I mean, it could just be something that somebody pulled out a phone and put in front of themselves when it's real, heartfelt, and genuine about the charity.
Absolutely. But I would add to that that the most critical part of the video is actually the audio. It's amazing that people sit through just terrible quality video feed, but they'll immediately turn it off if they can't hear. So be sure that your sound is adequate, that you've got the recording device close enough to the person doing the talking that the sound comes through, and then you should be okay.
All right. And Scott, just a minute we have left. You mentioned Google Plus earlier. What are you seeing now that it's been out and public? How are you seeing it used? Are you seeing it used widely? I mean, really, actually, people using it, not just signing up. What are you seeing?
The current number is around 40 million users, which is pretty phenomenal, actually, in the short period of time they've been out. They just recently, actually yesterday, announced that they are integrating the blog facility, I think it's blogger.com, which is a Google property. So they're going to be linking Google Plus with Blogger, which makes a whole lot of sense, because if you now have a blog, your posts will be shown in Google Plus. So, you know, little by little, Google is integrating all of their properties and other facilities with Google Plus, and it's really gaining traction. One of the comments that I saw just recently was that it's not so much about your family. It's more about your other relationships, your business relationships, and your professional relationships. So I think Google Plus is carving out a niche that is not so much directly competitive with Facebook. Not that they don't want a lot of that business, but I think they're going in a little bit different direction, and they're being successful at it.
Scott Kegler is the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, which you'll find at nptechnews.com. He's our regular tech contributor. We talk to him once a month. Scott, a real pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.
Good to have you. I want to thank Scott and also Mary Allison from Washington State. Mary, thank you very much for joining us. Next week, Assess Your Asking Style. Author Andrea Kilstead will be with me for the hour to share her insights into the four asking styles and what each different style needs to be successful. Are you a mission controller or kindred spirit? Find out next week with my guest, Andrea Kilstead. You can keep up with us coming up week after week. Sign up for our insider email alerts on the Facebook page. If you like the show, click like on the Facebook page. Become a fan. You can listen live or archive. You've been live. To listen archive, go to our iTunes page. All the episodes, all the shows are archived there. You'll find that at nonprofitradio.net. Download, subscribe, and then you can listen on the device of your choice, whether that's a smartphone or a tablet or a desktop or a laptop. Follow me on Twitter. Just use my name and the show's hashtag. When you want to follow the show feed, use hashtag nonprofitradio. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. The line producer for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Sam Leibowitz. And our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. I hope you will be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, which is found at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please tune in on Mondays at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Tune in as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off right with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, We do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.